We're going to be looking at a variety of scriptures this morning, but I want us to start right off with two verses from Philippians chapter 3, and they're going to appear up here on the screen. And I'd like us to read these verses together. Let's begin. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Alistair McGrath was born in 1953 in Ireland. God gave him a brilliant mind. He just didn't know it was God. When he entered Oxford University as a student, he was an avowed atheist. But while there, he encountered some Christians, and as they explained their faith, almost against his will, Alistair had to admit that the Christian view of the world made lots more sense than his atheist view. And in time, he surrendered his life to Christ there at Oxford. But about a year after he had done this, he reached a crisis in his faith. He had been reading lots of scripture, but his faith was basically just mental. It was just an intellectual thing, and he realized something is missing here. But he had a Christian friend that advised him, said, why don't you take your Bible and get off by yourself for a while, just with God, and ask Him to speak to you. So one morning, Alistair took his Bible. He climbed up on a hill that kind of overlooked the Oxford campus. He was just kind of there alone, and he opened up to the book of Philippians. And instead of just reading through just for intellectual purposes, he just began going through very slowly, thinking about what he was reading. And when he got to these two verses that we just read, Philippians 3, verse 8 and 9, that's when it happened. The Spirit of God came upon him. And suddenly he was gripped, not just in his mind, but his whole being, with what Paul was saying. That Paul said, everything else in the world is a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. Alistair recognized Paul also had a brilliant mind, and yet Paul was gripped with the presence of Christ and who he was and what he had done. And at that moment, Alistair realized that the Word of God is not just a dry doctrinal piece. It is a tool by which the Holy Spirit can speak right into our hearts about the truth of who we are in Christ. And so Alistair went on, and in this little autobiography I was reading about him, he concluded this article with this statement. He said, perhaps the most important lesson from my early morning reflections 40-some years ago was how the Bible can speak to us in times of need, transition, and discernment. I was at a crossroads. Like so many others before me, I found that coming to the Bible with real, honest questions and a willingness to be changed opened up new possibilities of growth. I know I won't be the last to make that discovery. He isn't the last. Many of us have made that discovery too. Coming to the Bible, openness to where the Spirit of God would bring transformation and help us. We here at Foster right now are a whole range of where we are at in terms of Bible understanding. And, you know, all the way from newbies who really have not ever done much study of the Bible, maybe just new to the faith, to those who have studied the Bible for decades and know it very well. And I say this not so that the newbies might feel guilty, you know, you are where you are at right now by God's grace, or for those who have studied the Bible for decades to get any puffed up. No, because there's always more we can learn. It's to acknowledge we're at all different spectrums. But this is a season of Lent. Lent is a season for 40 days, not counting Sundays, from Ash Wednesday up to Easter, in which Christians traditionally have used this as a time to again focus on the meaning of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection in our lives. And it's been the tradition in many aspects of the Christian communion for people to give up something during Lent. Now, some of you personally are probably doing that, but I'm going to make a suggestion this morning of what we as a body, the body of Foster Presbyterian Church, what we might give up for Lent. And my suggestion is, let's give up biblical ignorance. I'm going to suggest that we take a fresh look at the Bible and dispel areas of ignorance, put a desire in our heart to enable us to grow in our faith in Christ, because ultimately the Bible is to nurture our faith in Christ. I can guarantee you, although Doug didn't say it, that he and Wendy, as they've gone over there on mission, have been inspired and encouraged by the words from God in the Bible, which tells us, you know, that we are sent in the mission to make disciples of all nations and to be concerned for the poor and needy. I mean, the Bible has been an instruction book for them. I can guarantee it. And so what we're going to do, these coming Sundays, from now through Palm Sunday, I want us to look at our goal, and Ben will put this up here on the screen. I want us to read together. This is going to be kind of the focus that we have of this Lenten series. So let's read this together. Provide helpful interpretive tools so that FTPC attendees, whatever their current level of biblical understanding, may more fully engage the Scriptures with the confidence that the living God can and will speak His eternal truth into their hearts, so that their faith in Jesus Christ, the central focus of the Bible, may be nurtured and lived out to the glory of God. Let me just highlight a few things there. Tools. We're going to be looking at some tools to help us, because it's not always easy to approach the Bible and how to understand it. So we'll do some of those tools. And also, whatever the current level of understanding. The idea is that we all grow, whether we're just new to studying the Bible or have been doing that for decades, and more fully engage the Scriptures with the confidence that the living God can and will speak. The Holy Spirit speaks through Scriptures. And we know that He will, and we want to learn how to listen to His voice there. And so that our faith in Jesus Christ, this is what the Bible is all about, is faith in Christ, can be nurtured and growing. That's our desire, where we'll be going. Now, what I want us to do here is we also want to be learning from each other and encouraging one another. In just a moment, I'm going to have you get into little groups of 3, 4, 5, 6 people and just briefly share, and I emphasize briefly, 2 questions that I want you to think about. One is, how have you found the Bible meaningful to you? And in asking that, I want to again bring assurance. If you are new and haven't read much in the Bible, don't feel that you have to answer. And don't feel badly if you have no way to say that you know how the Bible is meaningful to you. And if you've studied the Bible for decades, don't take the whole 2 minutes and just dominate it. You know, just say, well, this is how I found it helpful, and we will give different people an opportunity. So just real quickly, I'm going to give 2 minutes for you to just discuss that with yourselves. How do you find the Bible meaningful to you? Then I'm going to get your attention and shift to the second question, which is, how have you found Bible reading difficult? What's difficult about reading the Bible? Okay, so first, take about 2 minutes in the small groups. What have you found meaningful about reading the Bible? Okay, shift focus now to what has been difficult. What has been difficult about reading the Bible? Share about that 2 minutes. What's difficult? Okay, time is up. If you can refocus back up here. I want to give opportunity just for a couple real quick responses to these questions. First of all, what are some quick answers? What is meaningful to you about reading the Bible? What's meaningful? Yes.
Just the way that they talk about God's love is encouraging, and as much as we can't comprehend it, the words in the Bible help us to comprehend it.
Okay, it helps comprehend the greatness of God and His love. So good. Anything else? Yes.
They're all lyrics.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, the Psalms are a songbook. Yeah.
Potent.
Hope. Yeah. Yes. Isn't that true? Hope. Yes. Jenny?
It's just always amazing to me how I can read a passage that I've read 100 times before, and suddenly I see something that I haven't seen.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that interesting how that's because the Holy Spirit is speaking to us at a new season in our life, and we see different things that we need. Yes, Jen?
Jeanette has taught me how to pray through the scriptures.
Oh.
Jeanette has opened a whole new world to me.
Isn't it? It's fascinating. If you want to make sure you're praying God's will, pray the scripture. It's great. Yes, Barb? Yes. 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 Wow. Yes. The truth, you know, it corrects misperceptions and then calls us to obedience. Yeah, one other.
Same with Barb. The truth, but it's like a level set for me. Oh. You know, it's like a reset button.
Yes. Yes.
That's going to get you back on track, because it's just knowing that every single word here is true.
Yeah.
In a society of relativism and everything else.
Exactly. 2 Timothy says the Bible is given for correction and direction, training, all of that. Okay, what's difficult about reading the Bible? Yeah, Kim?
Mark Twain said, "It ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It is the parts that I do understand."
Yes. In other words, it can be difficult because it calls us to account and to obedience. And we may not always like that. Yes.
The cultural background. So
okay.
It's different than ours.
It's a very different cultural background. Yes.
Just low priority in life.
Okay. It can be difficult if it's a low priority to make the time to actually read it. Yes?
I didn't share this with my group, but it can be difficult. Something seems plain to me in the scriptures, and it's like it seems like God's revealed truth, and other Christians don't see it the same way I do.
Okay, yeah. The challenge of interpretation. And what else? Yes, Adriana?
There's a lot of difficulty pronouncing names and places.
Yeah, some of those names are very difficult. Yeah, Gene?
As Bob mentioned, low priority, I think.
Yeah.
Well, what has changed my priority is your reflection section in the bulletin.
Ah, yes.
Brings me back every day.
Yes. Hey, welcome back to that, because he's referring to how I do a reflections each week that give scriptures from Monday through Saturday kind of connected with whatever we talked about on that Sunday. Okay, so the Bible is very meaningful, but it can be difficult. We're going to do just a quick sample Bible study out of Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, story of the Ethiopian eunuch. So we're going to get that up on the screen. But, you know, actually, I would encourage you, if you have your pew Bibles, to open that, because I want to keep that open before us as we look at this. We're going to read the story together, but then if you have your own Bibles or a pew Bible, we're going to look back at that. But let's read this together. It's going to be up here on the screen. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians." This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns till he reached Caesarea. Now, this eunuch from Ethiopia, why had he gone to Jerusalem, and what does this tell us about him?
Worship.
He went to worship. So what does that indicate? Why did he go to Jerusalem? Okay, that was the center of Judaism. This man was probably either a Jewish convert or was very interested in the Jewish faith. And the fact that he had... Now, remember, the Jewish Bible was our Old Testament. He probably had a copy of the Jewish Scriptures. So he had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way back, he's reading the Word of God. Now, obviously, there are things that in there he had understood. He knew there was one God and things like that. But why? What did he happen to be reading? Do any of you know right when Philip came up? Isaiah 53. A great passage about the Messiah and what he would do on the cross. So God's timing is amazing. That's when Philip came up, is right when this guy is reading Isaiah 53. And why didn't the Ethiopian eunuch understand what the passage was about? No one to explain it to him. And of course, he was not yet surrendered to Christ. He didn't have the Spirit of God interpreting for him. So what did Philip do with that? Explained it, and what did he talk about? The good news of Jesus. Remember, the Old Testament is fulfilled by Christ. It's an arrow pointing to Christ. But, you know, it said here, I found this interesting, that that Philip began with that very passage of Scripture, and it's probably, you know, I didn't even realize it until we were just reading this now, but that probably meant he pointed him to other Scriptures in the Old Testament, saying, here, this is about Jesus. He fulfilled. He did this and that. But undoubtedly emphasized Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Now, later the Spirit removes Philip, and yet the Ethiopian goes on rejoicing. Why does he rejoice? What happened? He had faith. He put his faith in Jesus. And now, oh, great. Now, this is going to obviously enhance his understanding now of the Scriptures, right? Now that he has faith in Christ. But he's still going to need help, just like we do. He's still going to need to he's going to have times, he's going to say, what does this mean? And he will need help. Well, we have the Holy Spirit to help us, and the Holy Spirit's provided tools in many ways. Like I said, we are at all different places here on our understanding of the Bible, but today the focus I want us to see is to pray for and have a desire to read the scripture. The Ethiopian eunuch, even though he didn't know about Christ yet, the Spirit of God was working on his heart, and he was wanting to read the Word of God. And because he was reading the Word of God, God met him. Just like Alistair McGrath spoke to him. Do you have this desire in your heart to read the Word of God? Many of you know that my mom is 98 years plus now, and we know that any time she might go home to the Lord. Through the recent years and months now, her vision has declined, and for some months now, she has no longer been able to read. I remember 2 weeks before Christmas, we were talking with her, and she made this comment. And I marked this down. She said, you know, when I was a younger Christian, I often would read the Bible out of duty. But as I kept growing in my faith, I found I wanted to read the Bible. I wanted to worship with His people. And then she said, and she wasn't saying this in a complaining way. She was just kind of a reality this season of life. She says, now I can't read the Bible. And I can't go and worship with His people. And she is ready to go home when the Lord takes her. But I thought, you know, I am so grateful that God has put that desire within her, within Alistair McGrath, within the Ethiopian eunuch, and countless Christians through the ages to want to read the Word of God. Do we have that desire? I believe many of us do here, even though it can be difficult. And it takes a real commitment. But if you don't have that desire yet, don't despair. God can give it to you. And we're going to be praying for that. Because when we have that desire, we're going to encounter God in fresh and powerful ways in His Word. Now, to be clear, it's very important here. We do not worship the Bible. And the Bible doesn't save us. We worship God through our faith in Jesus Christ. It's Jesus who saves us. It's He who died for our sins. It's He who rose from the dead. He who's Lord over all. But without knowing the Bible, we're not going to know who Christ really is. We won't be enthralled with His magnificence. We will not know how He wants us to live. And if He's Lord of our lives, we want to know how He wants us to live. We need to know the Bible for that purpose. Psalm 19 is important. I'm just going to read a few verses from Psalm 19 here because we live in an age of great confusion. And Barbara over here was mentioning about that. There's a lot of deception out there. I don't think there's a week that goes by that I do not read or hear of some use of the Bible that is taking it out of context and missing the point. There's a lot of confusion in our culture, and we need to have God's Word as a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Listen to what Psalm 19 says, verses 7 through 9. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. Now, that summary, ordinances, statutes, and all of that, cumulative, is saying the Word of God, the Bible. And this is, and then I just want to make some comments on the following verses that end up this psalm. They, and that means the words of God that we have in the Scripture, they are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. For all that we, you know, treasure about material things, they cannot match the value of God's Word. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. You know, they satisfy when we know that they are the words of God. Then, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. There are so many minefields out there, deceptive worldly philosophies, that without the Bible, we step into those minefields. We hurt ourselves. We hurt others in our relationships with them because we're not aware of God's good commands. But by them, your servant is warned. Don't step here. Don't follow this philosophy. You know, it's the Word of God. Then in verse 12, who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Hidden faults. You know, there are some things we just are not aware of unless the Spirit of God shines a light. Now, there's an interesting verse in Jeremiah that says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Human beings, we have a great capacity to deceive ourselves and not even know it. But the Bible, again, exposes those deceptions and puts us on the right track. Again, verse 13, keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. There's also willful sins. These are the things that we know are wrong. But the Spirit of God convicts us of that so that we will not get caught into bondage with those sins. And then finally, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In other words, we want to honor God, but we cannot honor God unless we know how He wants us to live, and we need the Word of God. I've shared before in different settings, including on Sunday morning, about my conversion to Christ when I was a sophomore in high school. And you know that I grew up in a very strong Christian family. I grew up going to church. So before that time of surrendering my life to Christ, I heard Bible stories. I mean, I went through Sunday school. I knew Bible stories. I knew a lot about the Bible, but it didn't mean anything to me. And then here is the irony. As a sophomore, our church had a Bible quiz team, and I was always been competitive. And so I was on the Bible quiz team, not because I loved the Lord and loved His Word, but because, hey, it was something our church did and we could compete and maybe get a trip to Indiana, which we did get at the end of the year for anyway. So that year I had memorized word for word 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, that portion of Scripture. And then came May of that year when I surrendered my life to Christ. I share this with you because of what happened that night when I got home. He's still kind of just buzzing with the realization Jesus is real and you know what had happened. But I remember I got home, I got in bed, and I opened up the Bible to one of those passages from our Bible quiz time that, you know, I wanted to review some of that. And I remember the sensation I had. I thought, wow, this word is real. These were words I already had in my mind to memorize, but now it was like God is speaking truth to me. And I remember the electrifying thought I had, you know, this is the Word of God. Now, in the many decades since then, I was young then, I have had dry times in reading the Bible. Let's be honest. There are times you can read and it's just, you don't hear as much. But I've never lost that commitment and conviction that God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit through the Scripture. If we are willing to open up and to let God speak to us. That's what we're going to be looking at in these coming Sundays. Tools to help us to grow from where we are to where God wants us to be in our maturation in Christ. So that's what we're going to give up for Lent. Biblical ignorance, not just for Lent, but for life. So here's your homework assignment. Aha. Doors are locked. You can't get out before the homework assignment. Gene mentioned the reflections, how this has really been helpful to him. Some of you have your own devotional patterns. That's great. You have a regular pattern of reading the Bible. But if you don't and you need some help, here's your homework assignment. I've adapted the reflections. You still have a scripture reading for each day, Monday through Saturday this coming week. But now there's some little questions, things to reflect on. And I encourage you to, starting tomorrow morning on Monday or tomorrow evening, whenever is the best time, to set aside a few minutes, read the passage, and then reflect on the questions. That just helps you. And as you do, here's a little cue. Barb said something earlier when we were singing about giving thanks to the Lord. Just start with a brief prayer of thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for life in Christ. And may your Holy Spirit speak truth to me through your word. It can be as simple as that. It just prepares your heart. And then read and then say, Lord, what do you want to say to me through this passage? What do you want to show me about you? What do you want me to show me in this about how you want me to respond? And when we come with that desire, God is faithful. He will speak. So there's your homework assignment if you don't have already a way to read the Bible. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are not a God who has created and then just left us on our own. You are a God who speaks. You've spoken through your word. You've spoken, lastly and most importantly, in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we want to avail ourselves of this special revelation of the living word, Jesus Christ, and the written word, the Bible. And we know that we can't do this without the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, as you draw us to Jesus, would you draw us to the truth? Lord, you said that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And we know that without the Bible, we're going to miss that. So we pray that, Holy Spirit, you can speak to us in prophetic words. You can speak to us with hunches. But you always, inevitably, will speak in accordance with the written word of God. And I pray right now, Spirit of the living God, come upon us as a people. Put a deep desire in our heart to know you more and to know you through your word. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would deliver us from deception, where we follow, like it says in Psalm 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly do not have the word of God, but that person's delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. Lord Jesus, would you give us that desire to know the word and meditate on it so we would not be falling into deception, but even more importantly, that we be equipped to do your work, to go forward positively to make disciples of all nations. We've heard of Doug's work and he and Wendy in South Africa, but you've given us an assignment right here where you cause us to live and to work. We want to be faithful to you. So Holy Spirit, speak to us through your word. Even this week, may we come with fresh understandings of who Christ is, how he wants us to live. Draw us into the Father's loving arms as we read your word. And thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We pray this all with expectation now and thanksgiving. In the mighty name of Jesus and all God's people said, amen. Amen.